A Weird Middle School and Death by Joseph Chavez. In life, after the cute fifth grade graduation with all the caps and gowns, pictures and sugar cookies, along with a weird kid and his overprotective mom, we move on to probably the worst or best experience of a preteen life, middle school. Here we find ourselves with clubs, sports, or just things that interest us to prepare for the next chapter of our life. But in the mix of all the pressure and, well, everything, we simply just try and fit in. There are 1,031 public school districts in Texas and about 618 charter schools. Out of those charter schools, 48 of them are branches of Harmony. The first Harmony school opened in Houston in the year 2000, after graduate student Sonner Tarim saw a learning gap among freshmen taking his classes of science and math. Tarim, along with other American, Turkish-American graduate students, wrote a charter school proposal, and after a few years down the line, with money and help, more and more campuses started to spring up to spread culture and learning. Personally, I hated middle school. Not because I was bullied or because I was picked on, but because of where I went to middle school. You see, when going to a new school, it's easy to lose contact from your previous peers, as kids separate and leave and go to several different schools and places. Where I landed was Harmony Science Academy, West Houston. Sounds cool, right? Well, it wasn't. Put academy behind any kind of title, and it sounds pristine, wonderful, or even professional. The school I went to was tight budgeted and was barely functional, with walls cracking and our gym being the cafeteria area with tables folded and moved to the side to make space barely enough room to do anything. But necessity being the mother of all inventions, we made it work anyway. Learning was hard here too. It being a Turkish school meant Turkish teachers. Nothing wrong with that, but the problem was we couldn't understand them. Their accent was thick, and their English was fair, but not great. As a Latino with family members who don't speak much English themselves, I can relate to the language barrier. I can only imagine how hard it was for those teachers to try and teach just for some rude middle schooler to keep talking, only to have them later on say, "I don't get it," or deal with the parental complaints of their child saying they couldn't understand the lesson. In addition to that, in place was also this weird class system. Depending on how many students there were in your grade, you'd be separated by rank of class, A and B. A in relative, the dumb class, with students having a hard time in academics and troublemakers. In class B was the smart kids, who understood everything after being just told once, or in part, learn it themselves when they couldn't understand the teacher. With the way the school was, there were no schedules for individual students. Once you were put in that class, you would move as one giant unit, going to different rooms, learning math, science, and English together. The only time our classes would meet would be PE. So you would have students run around in their red and blue uniform and khakis, and after they were tired of playing the game with careful caution of the tables, that's how you would make friends in a different class. I was in class A. As a sixth grader with an outgoing personality, I made it my mission to be everyone's friend. But in the reality of middle school, I quickly learned not everyone is good friend material. I learned that those who are serious about school will seek those kinds of friends, and those who are less involved will find those groups. It finally made sense. The thing your mom says always before you go somewhere new or meet new people: choose your friends wisely. The way school are funded is simple. Taxes. It comes from the federal, state, and then after a long process of paperwork, money is given to the school. But because nearly half of those funds come from your local property taxes, the system generates large funding differences between wealthy and struggling communities. In the case of Harmony, because it was a charter school, no student was zoned or required to be there. But as part of the district, we were funded by how many students were enrolled. The way it would work is they would average how many students showed up a day, and then based on those statistics, the district would then give money to the school. But because our school was small, we wouldn't get much. And because money was hard to come by, administration had a choice to either provide the student with electives and clubs or pay their employees and keep the lights on. My school was boring. there are only two clubs, robotics and soccer. With robotics, because of how competitive it was, only Class B students were really the ones allowed to be on the team. One of the few requirements were to have straight A's, and for the kids in Class B, that was easy. In fact, it kind of seemed that if you were in Class B, everything was easy, besides the classes. The little money the school had left was usually spent on Class B, no matter what grade you were in. My brother experienced the same thing, as he was in the same boat as me, Class A. Class B usually got the newer stuff, like calculators and desks, when the school had enough money to afford it. Because of that, people in Class A felt neglected, and we would often ask, why does Class B get to have the fancy calculators? And the answer would often be, their classes are harder. The crazy thing was that their classes were different. And because their classes were so different, they would often get to go on field trips while Class A stayed at school for just another regular day. Class A would complain and the answer would just be, it's a learning trip. It really wasn't. But because of this fact, the classes became divided and they started to hate each other. And there were no middle ground. If you were in Class A, you were Team A. And the same thing with Class B. The school also knew about the division, but they considered it friendly competition, holding it over our heads with, whoever does better on this test, Class A or B will get to have a pizza party. And the way the things were, Class B usually got it. When it came to the clubs, Class B dominated the robotics team. Apart from like one or two students from Class A, I tried for the robotics team, but I could never join for the fact that I could never keep up with all the straight A's. I wasn't a bad student, I was just more of a A and B honor roll kind of kid. Soccer was considered the club. If you were on the team, you were a cool kid. And because the requirement was different, passing all classes, Class A took all the spots on the team. In truth, because of the nature of Class A, energetic, loud kids, when tryouts came for the team, Class A killed Class B. It started with a scrimmage between the two classes, but it ended quickly in about a 5-point difference and multiple injuries on B's side. As far as myself, I wasn't like the rest of the kids. Fast, but not fast enough. So sadly, I didn't get to join this club either, along with the kids who were not as smart or fast enough to join either club. This is probably why I hated middle school so much. I always felt like I didn't fit in or part of something. It damaged me. And knowing now, self-esteem may be the most vulnerable during these early phases of middle school. I can see why a lot of my classmates hated it too. Now, granted, I wasn't a shy kid, but I wanted to be part of something. I'm sure I wasn't the only one who felt this way, but there really isn't anything the students could do about it. So we took every day as a normal one. Go through the motion and see in what ways we could stand out to people. To get them to think that we were the cool ones. But that was just middle school for me. The real problem was with my family when my grandmother got sick and middle school got a little bit darker. There are two things in life you can't avoid no matter what you do. Paying taxes and dying. This lesson was taught to me when I bought a candy bar for only a dollar, only for the cashier not to sell it to me for not having the other 8 cents. The other time is when my grandmother died of breast cancer. Here's a crazy statistic that everyone wants to know the answer to but never Googles. On this earth, every day, 151,600 people die. In the United States alone, about 1,620 people die of cancer each day. In 2018, there were 1,735,350 cases of cancer that were diagnosed in the United States. If only 25% of those cases were to receive chemotherapy, the hospital would receive, assuming everyone would be able to lay off the debt, over $13 billion. When I see this number, I think of the conspiracies that cancer is curable. But businessmen are keeping the cure for themselves for the money. It's sad to think when young adults are asked to explain their first involvement with death, 46% of the students connected to the death of a grandparent. And I was the same. Aside from my bad time in middle school, life was tough in general. My grandmother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and by the time they caught it, she was already at stage 4. As a seventh grader, I had only experienced death of one person I knew, an old neighbor of mine. But I was only five, and this wasn't a person of my family. It was hard watching my mother frantically spend hours behind a computer screen on the other end of a call, looking for answers and help. As my brother and I continued to go to school with knowing in the back of our minds that our grandmother was going to die, we distracted ourselves with studying and video games. Even though with the feeling of grief, children often feel a sense to act more mature so they match and make sense of their surroundings. We just try to not think about it. But it was always the hardest part. In truth, there is nothing you can do about the unstoppable marching of time that is slowly guiding us towards an inevitable death. I remember the night she passed as well, too. All my aunts and uncles in a room around her, her grandchildren by her bedside. She had fallen into a coma about 2 days prior. We took turns saying goodbye, everyone crying and holding each other. After everyone said what they needed to, at 2:13 the following morning of June 1st, she had passed. As we had made peace with her the night before, no one cried except my grandfather, who stayed in the room and sobbed to himself. He kissed her on the head one last time and he left with us. That summer was the hardest one we ever had. My mother barely spoke, my father constantly working to make money for the funeral. Once everything happened, we finally put our grandmother to rest and we moved homes. This was during the summer of my eighth grade year. I was supposed to go into ninth grade that year to the same school, but my grandmother knew I didn't like that school. So before she died, she told my mother to pull me out and let me experience some other things. So that's what she did. I moved to Tompkins High School to experience things differently, and after a while, I found theater. For the first time, I found something that I loved and had a feeling of belonging, doing something that I was good at and liked.